part of the reason for these messages that he's been doing called You and the Holy Spirit. Don't you enjoy watching Dave and the Holy Spirit? I love watching Tim and the Holy Spirit. I love watching Charlie and the Holy Spirit. But see, really, it's about you and the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. But you're not going to do them without the Holy Spirit. So he's been teaching us about how to walk closer and closer with him. And the 8:30 service was dedicated to that entirely. And he was sharing from a... Yes, sir. Go ahead and open up to John 11. Now, I can't reteach what we did in the 8:30 service, and he doesn't want to anyway. But if you weren't able to come, that service will be at the website tomorrow. The tape will be available Wednesday. It's called You and the Holy Spirit. Did I say John 11? Okay, good. So all I'm going to do is quickly summarize a couple of things, and then I'm going to go on. This morning, he was teaching primarily the doctrine and some things that he said to me to help explain this. But now in this service, I'm going to share with you some practical aspects, some things that happened this last week even. Because y'all know me. Y'all know Sue and I. You do know that we give people great hope everywhere that we go. Because people get to meeting us, they find out about us, and they find out real quick we're just as plain as dirt. I mean, if God can use us in any capacity at all, trust me, He can use you. So I'm just going to share some things with you that, you know, first you teach, and then you give examples. So I'm going to give you some examples even from this past week of some things that I learned more about walking with the Holy Ghost. Now, what we started off this morning is out of John chapter 11. This is the chapter where Lazarus, Jesus' close friend, got sick. And Lazarus' sisters, they sent word to Jesus, letting him know that Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. And the point of this passage here, it shows several times where Jesus received information that he had no natural way of knowing. Behind the scenes, where we can't see, the Holy Spirit was giving him information, and he talks about walking in the light of the Holy Spirit. So quickly, let's just do a little short portion of this. Verse 4, starting verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now the quick question is why? Why did he stay there for 2 more days? Now the answers to that is in this morning's session, but it's he had information from the Holy Spirit. Let's keep going here. But after 2 days, verse 7, then after that he saith to his disciples, Well, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late, recently, just recently, they sought to stone thee, and you're going back there again? Now here Jesus tells them, gives them something in the natural that they can understand, explaining to them why he is making the decisions that he's making. First, he decided not to go for 2 days. Then after 2 days has passed, he's saying, now it's time to go. And they're going, this doesn't make sense to us. But see, he's walking in a light. He's walking in counsel that they don't have any access to at this point. He's walking in the counsel of the Holy Ghost. And get this straight now. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not operating as God. He laid down all of that when he came here. He is operating as a man with the life of God on the inside of him and anointed by the same Holy Ghost that you're anointed with. You got this, and now you have the same life in you that he had, and you got the same Holy Ghost that he had. That's why he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these. Because I go to the Father. That when he says, because I go to the Father, he says later in that same chapter, if I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, he will come to you. In other words, this has to happen in order that you can have the same counsel that I'm walking in, and you can have the same power that I'm walking in. Now, the natural analogy he gives is Are there not 12 hours in the day? He's talking about natural sunlight, natural day. If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world, which is the sun. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. Now, what's he telling them? He's saying, look, in the same way that you guys, when you're walking in the light, you don't stumble over things because you plainly see what's in front of you and you can walk around them. You know exactly what to do. He says, boys, I know you're worried that I'm making the wrong decisions. Trust me. I'm not walking in the dark. I'm walking in the light of counsel that you don't know anything about. We know he's walking in the light of the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And that is the same Holy Spirit that you have access to. You don't have to walk in the dark. One of the things that Jesus said, he says, when the Comforter comes, he says, look, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. An orphan has no one to provide for them, to train them, to teach them, or guide them. He says, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to send you this other Comforter. And he's going to come and lead you and guide you into all truth. Well, that's the same Comforter. Several things here. First off, Jesus knows not to go. And how many ministers today, if you knew that you had a healing anointing, that every time you prayed for somebody, they got healed, period. Every single time, without exception, they got healed. And your best friend is sick, somebody sends you a telegram or calls you and says your best friend is over there sick. Wouldn't, 99.9%, including me, would immediately jump up and get over there in order to heal that person. I'd fall into the same trap. And it was a trap. That's why he didn't go. Again, you ought to get Dave's set of tapes. See where he breaks this down in great detail. Meditation, imagery, and delivery. If you haven't got those yet, you need to get them. Anyway, the point of today's message is not to teach that. It's to teach that you have this same Holy Spirit available to you. He says, I'm not guessing. I'm not stumbling around in the dark. I know you don't understand my decisions. They're going, if we go back there, those same Jews that tried to kill you before, they might try and kill all of us. But see, Jesus already knows what's going on. He knows it's a trap from the enemy. He knows the Jews were waiting to see if he would come and heal Lazarus. But once Lazarus is dead, they figure he's not coming. And they disperse. And now the Holy Spirit says, now it's safe to go. He avoided the trap. I guarantee you, 99.9%. of all the ministers I know, including me, would have probably fallen into the devil's trap. But that is changing. That is changing. We're not going to be falling into the devil's traps. But let's go on a little more. He says here that, you know how the story goes. It says he sleeps. And they're still looking for an excuse not to go. Verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Well, then said his disciples, look, they're looking, still looking for an excuse not to go. Lord, sick people, if they get plenty of rest, they get better. He'll get better, Lord. We don't have to go. Look, see, if he's sleeping, that's good for him. He'll get better. We don't have to go. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Now, verse 14, Jesus finally has to go ahead and tell them, look, Lazarus is dead. Now, he knew it. How did he know it? My question to you. Well, he's God. He laid that down. He's operating exactly like he intends us to operate. How did he know Lazarus is dead? He got that information from the Holy Spirit. Now, these are immediate problems that Jesus is having to deal with. He's having to make decisions. Go, not go, when do we go, what's going to happen. He already knows that it's not going to end in death, even though Lazarus died. Where is he getting this information? He gives them a clue. Okay, now just like you guys walk in the natural light, and you know what to do, trust me, I'm not guessing. I'm not walking in the dark. These are not wrong decisions. I'm walking in the light of the counsel. He doesn't tell them this part, but I'm walking in the light of the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Now let me share this with you. I have much more detail on that 8:30 service. But can you tell? I just wanted you to see that part. He is receiving instant answers for immediate problems. Instant answers for immediate problems, things he has to deal with now, not 40 days from now. And he's getting information to deal with them instantly, right now, as he needs them. And here's something that the Holy Spirit said to me in one of those face-to-face documents. They're at the website, if you can go there. I went and double-checked, they're still there. Scroll down to the bottom of the home page, right in the middle it says, face-to-face documents. You click there, it takes you to the whole list. This one is called Communion with the Spirit. It's not an audio lesson, it's a written lesson. You can print it out yourself. Communion with the Spirit. And I'm just going to read you this little part here now. Let me find it. He says, I'm warning you ahead of time that this will be a hard concept for men to receive as you teach it. But it is my plan, it is my will, it is my purpose, says the Lord. Men will find this hard to believe. Now here it is. You ready? It is my purpose in sending the Holy Spirit that you receive instant answers for immediate problems. And it is my will that you receive answers ahead of time, before you even know of problems that shall come. Many, because of their experience in the past, because of the difficulty they have had in discerning the voice of my Spirit in their spiritual ear, they will reject this as not even being possible. But I ask you this, says the Lord, if you were walking with Jesus Christ in the flesh, and you came upon any difficult situation, if you were to turn to Him and ask Him what to do, would there be a long delay in His response? No, there would be no delay at all. Neither would He have to seek my mind for days to know how to answer you. You would ask, and He would answer. You have no problem seeing how that would be the case were you walking with Jesus in the flesh, side by side, all day long. Understand that it is for the same function and for the same purpose that I have sent the Comforter unto my children. That you walk with Him and commune with Him. And when you ask questions regarding any situation, it is my intention that you receive instant answers. There's a lot more in there. The time is short and He has a specific thing He wants to do. I want to share with you. Now, I'm walking this out with you guys like you're walking it out. Gary, do you constantly hear the voice of the Lord 100% of the time? You must be kidding. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm pressing towards the mark like you're pressing towards the mark. Do you still miss it once in a while? I called Alan Taylor about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I thought I was hearing the Lord say Alan had the service. Trouble was, Alan was in Texas. He's going, I won't be back. I said, oops, I don't think I heard the Lord. Now what do you do right there? Quit? Better not. Keep pressing on. Now let me tell you about some experiences this past week. Most of you know that last week I had the privilege of going to a church I've never been to before in New Jersey. It's a large church, 1,500 adults, about 2,200 counting the children and young people. But it's an all-Korean-speaking church. All the services are done in Korean. Now, the young people, like 25 and under, they speak English pretty well. But a lot of the older ones don't speak English at all. So every service is done in Korean. And they had they have this summer retreat, they call it, for their church. They've been having it every year for the past 10 years. I am the first non-Korean speaker ever at this church. And to give you an idea what a big, you know, what a thing that was, courageousness on the pastor's part. The turnout, even though we had about 900 come to the meetings, it was still less than they expected, and they found out some had decided not to come since a non-Korean speaker was going to be there. It takes courage to obey God, you know. Well, and he and I had never met, and how it had happened, somebody had told him about the services that are online through Pastor Jin Ho Kim's church in South Korea. All the messages I've done there for the past 3 years, they've videoed them, and they've got those online. And there I'm teaching through Jin Ho is interpreting. So someone had told this pastor about those, and he went and listened to 2 or 3 of them. He liked what he heard. And so he felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to invite me to come to teach at this summer retreat. Now, when he called, for the past 2 years, I have been turning down almost 100% of all the invitations that we get to go preach, because we've been on specific assignment from the Lord to get all those messages online at the website, and it's been a real job. So I was already expecting to say no. Here's Pastor Chan on the other end of the phone, first time we've ever spoken. And I'm already preparing in my mind how to nicely say thank you, but like I've been saying to everybody. And I'm getting a Holy Ghost flutter. You know what that means? I'm going, oh, my goodness. The Lord wants me to go. And so I accepted the invitation. So time goes by, and they're making preparations, and I'm making preparations to go to this church in Korea. I got to shorten things up here a little bit. And they hire a translator, someone who's going to translate for me. And he calls me a week or two before the meetings, and we're just getting to know each other. And now get this. I told y'all earlier my heritage, you know, my dad's side of the family, Southern Baptist. And I mean country, out in the country, Southern Baptist, where tongues is still of the devil. You understand what I'm saying? Tongues is of the devil. On my mom's side of the family, holiness Pentecostal. Hair up in a bun, no makeup. But my mother says she doesn't ever remember a day not hearing her mother sing to the Lord in other tongues. So I have both of these streams coming into me as a heritage. By the way, all those people are in heaven. See? Anyway, so what am I? I'm a Baptist-costal. I'm explaining that to Andrew, Pastor Reverend Andrew. He's the guy that's going to interpret. So that's my background, is Baptist-costal. Well, he is Church of God. And born in Cleveland, Tennessee, by the way. Grew up, went to Lee University. There's a lot I could say there. Now, they're going to hear this tape, so I've got to be careful, okay? I'm very much accountable on everything I say. But let's just say there's a little difference between the Baptists and the Pentecostals. Well, there's also a little difference between either one of those streams and the Church of God. But the church where I'm going to go and preach, the name of the church is Bethany United Methodist Church. I said, now God's got a sense of humor. I can't even speak to these people without going through Andrew. So God's got a Baptist-costal. Everything I say has to filter through a Church of God man that I've never even been there to United Methodist people. But now they are Spirit-filled. This is a very much Spirit-filled Methodist church, okay? Now, as I get to know Andrew a little bit, Andrew was wanting to know how soon the manuscripts were going to arrive so he could review them before the services. Can you email them so I can have them quickly? Because traditionally in the Korean church, things are done very formally. And you have, not only do you have all the scripture references, but you have the entire message typed like a manuscript. And especially if there's going to be an interpretation. And so I start trying to say, Andrew, my friend, we haven't even met yet. I said, I'll be lucky if I can give you any verses. I said, I do know this one verse because the pastor told me this was the theme. And it's out of John 7 where Jesus said, those that believe on me, as the scriptures has said, out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, for Christ was not yet glorified. Okay? So I said, I know that one. I know that verse. And I said, we'll probably be in Romans 8, probably be in John 14, maybe Ezekiel 47. And he said, there's no manuscript. No, there's no manuscript. Now let me tell you some more. And again, they're going to receive this. So I'm very careful to be very, I don't want to evangelistically speak or anything. I'm being very careful to give you accurately everything I know. say this as accurately as I know. His father passed away last month. Andrew's only in his 30s. And his Andrew and his father they're born again, spirit filled, and they do believe in healing. And they were believing for his father to be healed. And his father died anyway. So it's only been 30 days. Now, it takes a while to deal with the death of your father under any circumstances. But when you're believing for a healing, so he's in a state, I just to say he's in that state. I'm receiving all this as input. Also, as I get to meet him, he has a child, 9 years old, that has cerebral palsy. And I met him, prayed for him. He looks very much like Tommy. This one right here, just younger. Very much the same kind of condition. Now again, I have no way, everything I say to these people has to go through Andrew. Now I'm listening on the inside what to do. And this is what I mean. You and the Holy Spirit, you have got to get to the place where you hear the Holy Spirit. Paul himself said to the Corinthians, I'd like to give you meat. I'm not yet able. I can only give you milk. There's time to give milk. There's time to give meat. So I'm listening on the inside. What do you want me to do about this? What's the plan? Now here I start getting my instructions from the Holy Ghost. He says, don't teach anything that you are not presently walking in yourself. If you cannot demonstrate it, do not teach it here. Now see, there's a difference between teaching here at the prayer center. Because you all know that we are contending for a land of revival that we are currently not walking 100% in. So we're on purpose. That's the mission of the prayer center, is to first spy out the land and then learn how to possess the land. So many of the things, you know, that what we teach here, we see it, we're bringing back a report like spies that have gone in and seen the land, and we're bringing back what grapes we can. But there's a whole lot to be conquered besides just grapes. See, so there's things that can be taught here that you can't necessarily teach at another place. So he says, my instructions, he said, if you can't, in other words, let's just put it in plain English. I knew what he meant. If I can't get his boy healed, don't be teaching at that level there. If I am not walking in that anointing, I don't have a right to teach it there. I do here because you understand the mission. But I don't have a right to teach it there, not unless I'm walking in it. Plain enough? Now let me start telling you some coincidences, quote, quote, quote. I don't believe in coincidence. I thought the meetings were going to be in New Jersey because that's the address of the church. Wayne, New Jersey. I didn't even know there was a Wayne, New Jersey. But anyway, come to find out the meetings are at a retreat about 80 miles north of there. And they're driving me in the car. And by the way, they asked me on the way there, said, once we get to this retreat, said, there's no choice. It's going to be American food all weekend. Now, on the way there, we're going to stop and have a meal. Do you want Korean or do you want American? I said, I can eat American all the time. Where's a Korean restaurant? You know, so we stopped, man. We had everything. It was so good. I really have developed a taste for Korean food. And I really enjoyed that. But now, one thing about Koreans, they'll put you to work. I mean, my flight was delayed an hour and a half even in leaving, so I get there late. We're driving 80 miles. We stop for a meal on the way up there, and the first service is at 7 that night. The next day, just to go ahead and give you previews of coming attractions, my first service every day was 6 a.m. 6 a.m. Friday, I did services at 6 a.m., 9:30 in the morning, 1:30 in the afternoon, 7:30 in the evening. Then we had the prayer line. I fell into bed about 11, 11:15, got up at 5 because the next service was at 6. Will he work you? No, will he use you? My God, man, he'll work your life. No wonder he says, Gary, lose some weight. Get in shape for crying out loud. We got the gospel to preach here. But anyway, they're driving me. We stop for that meal. or stop for that meal. I want you to notice these things now. All of the things. I want you to notice all these facets of the message. We're driving 80 miles. We ate lunch and still driving. And the closer we're getting, the more familiar the landscape starts looking to me. More like, I've been here before. And finally, they turn off on the last road off the interstate headed towards the resort. And I knew that road well. I said, my goodness, I've been on this. I have driven on this road 50 to 100 times at least. I said, this is the road to Ellenville, isn't it? They said, yep. I said, that was one of our major delivery places when I was driving crane carrier trucks. I've delivered to Ellenville probably 50 or 100 times. Then I got to remember, there was always, when I go to Ellenville, there's a really nice resort over on the right-hand side. It's one of those that where the instead of the trees having leaves, the trees have money. I mean, you know, it's just, you know what I mean? You just look at that, golf courses, multiple swimming pools, everything there, you know, is just really, you know. I mean, you know, a truck driver just kind of looks at that and goes, man, look at that. That is just really nice. Of course, I'm praying in tongues. Y'all remember knowing my testimony. I'm praying. And I know the Holy Ghost had to be chuckling. Because I didn't know it was contained in that language. His will for my life. The Holy Ghost had to be chuckling going, he don't know it. No, he wouldn't say that. He doesn't know it. Someday, he's not only going to go to that resort, he's going to be the guest speaker at that resort. That's where it was. And you can tell me that's coincidence all you want to, and I still won't believe it. It's like that other place, Fort Payne, Alabama. Of all the places where I delivered all those years, that was our number one delivery place. I have delivered sometimes for weeks in Fort Payne, Alabama, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I mean, that was just a real one of our major spots. I have prayed literally without any exaggeration thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours in Fort Payne, Alabama. And you're going to tell me it's a coincidence that that's where Elaine Hallmer starts her church? You'll never convince me in a million years that those tongues didn't have something to do with that. Now, I know he had other people praying. You'll never convince me he didn't have something to do with that. Well, anyway, back to this thing. Well, that was, quote, coincidence number one, you know. That it's actually this resort that I've been by so many times before. All right? Now, before every service, Andrew wants to know, do I have anything in print for him? Do I have any kind of manuscript? I said, Andrew, I don't even know the verses. I'm sorry. I don't even know the verses. I said, I think this one, I think that one. And then it wouldn't be what I thought anyway. Now, by the way, by the end of the service, by the end of the few days, he was going, I kind of like this. He said, I've never seen it like this before. Okay, now I got to shorten this down. The first night we had... Of course, it was Thursday night, so a lot of people have to work on Friday. That was the least attended. We probably had 700 people there that night. And, you know, usually at a Christian retreat, you know, where people are going to pay money to come and it's a Christian retreat, you don't expect unsaved people to be there. But at the end of the service, I just kept feeling this prompting of the Holy Ghost to give an altar call. It wouldn't go away. My mind kept going, Lord, I mean, there's probably no lost people here. I mean, so I went ahead, but see, following the instructions that come by the Holy Ghost. Now, I was real specific. I said, this is not a call for rededication. This is not a call for anything like that. We're not calling you down to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you have never, ever, ever in your life asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart, if you don't know for sure tonight that you're going to heaven, you need to come down right here. And we'll lead you, and you can know. 12 people came forward. 12. And I thought, well, maybe I didn't do it right. So while they're there, I asked Andrew again. I said, go through it again. Make sure they understood what I said. Well, so he went through it again. You know, this is not for rededication. It's, you know, if you want prayer for something else, just stand over here and we'll pray for you in a minute. But right now, this is for people to get born again. Now, all I can tell you is none of them left. So we led them in the sinner's prayer. As far as I know, 12 people got born again that night. In a Christian retreat. I'd like to know the rest of the story. I don't know what they're doing there. Maybe people brought them as friends or something. I don't know. So that's starting off pretty good. I like that. 12 get born again. You see, a teacher's ministry, a teacher normally is to people that's already born again. See? Well, the next night, the next major altar call that we had was for people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, that night, we probably had 800 people there. And again, went through the same thing again. If you have never, ever. I said, now, if you already speak in tongues and you want to touch, we're going to have a prayer line for that later. But this is not for you. If you have never, ever spoken in other tongues, and you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Of course, this is after I've been teaching all day. This is the day that we did the 6 o'clock, 9:30, 1:30, 7. Now we're in the 7:30 service at the end. If you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, come down. Now, I don't want to evangelistically speak, but there is at minimum dozens that flowed down. Dozens. And I dare say it approached or maybe even exceeded 100. Somewhere 50 to 100 at least. Now, we stayed with them till the last one of them. And I don't have any quitting sense. You're not leaving here till you're speaking in tongues. They brought me a towel. I was just dripping by the time this is over. I mean, you get that many bodies. I don't care how big your air conditioner is. You get that many bodies in one place for that many hours, and it got warm in there. But before it was over, every single one of them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now again, see, I'm not teaching anything beyond things that we're walking in. You understand what I'm saying? That leaves plenty to teach about. I'm teaching about, they want to know about the rivers of living water. That was the theme. So I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching about praying in other tongues. I'm teaching about the revelation gift. I'm teaching about impasses. I'm teaching about the mirror, how Christ, we're changed into that same image by the Spirit of the living God from glory to glory. There's plenty to teach on. And so I'm teaching on those things, okay? Things that I'm for sure walking in. And it's working. Plus, he had me very much let my hair down. You know what I mean by that? Korean church, and again, they're very formal. It's very formal. I'm not. I'm just telling them plain, you know, and just trying to be like, the same there as I always am, you know. And it's having an impact, especially on the young people. Boy, I really made a connection with... I was wondering if I was ever going to make it to the plane. The young people want to take pictures, you know. There's hundreds and hundreds. And so anyway, God's doing a work there. But hundreds baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you all the good things, see. Because then eventually now, that one of the services, it was time to pray for the handicapped. And you can imagine a church that large, 2,200 people all together. They had about, I'm guessing now, 25 to 30 severely handicapped people, young people. Yes, sir, I won't forget. Okay. I know we're going a little long. It's okay. Here they come. And these are all severe cases. Every one of them a Tommy, if you allow me. We had wheelchairs. We had... one giant of a man. I mean, he's got something wrong with his thyroid. Korean people are not normally very tall. This man has to be approaching 7 foot. And I mean, big guy. He could, you know. But he's very much... it takes four men to restrain him. And he, you know, he's something wrong with him. That's all I can tell you. Mentally, he is something wrong with him. And we had several with cerebral palsy. We had a couple in a wheelchair. One young man named David, who I very much just fell in love with, and I hope he hears this message. I love you, David. He's only recently, now he's, David's probably 17, 18, and he's got cerebral palsy. But he's only developed it recently. And just now it's to the point within the last year that he's confined to a wheelchair. Now medicine gives him no hope at all. There is no hope for him. He will get worse and worse medically. But thank God we have some inside information. And I got to share with him and pray with him one-on-one. And he and I are in agreement that I will pay his plane ticket here so someday David can come to this church stand behind that pulpit, point to the wheelchair, and say, that's where I used to be. But Jesus got me out. Now, we're in agreement on that. The day will come. But I shared that one-on-one with him, see, because I don't have that anointing. Now, here's the bad news. I say, don't have it. It's not that it hasn't been given, but I have not fully possessed that land. So let me tell you, what would you do if you was in my situation there? Now, I prayed with all the faith that I have, all the knowledge that I have. I prayed with those. So did the pastor. So did Andrew. So did all of us. God, that went on maybe 2 hours, hour and a half at least. Doing everything that I know to do, and to the best of my knowledge, unless something happened after I left. Yes, sir. Okay, I won't forget it. He reminded me again. He wants me to tell you about this one little girl. To the best of my knowledge, there was no miracle that we could see. But because I hadn't been teaching out in excess of where I'm walking, the door of fellowship with that church and those people is still wide open. Andrew and I have become close friends. Andrew and I are in agreement, even because we talked privately, that the day will come when he'll bring his son here to stand behind that pulpit and give his testimony of how he's free. Now, I've got to tell you, twice the Lord's told me to tell you about this little girl. I even told Sue about this one. There's a little girl. I think she's 7 years old. You would instantly fall in love with her. And right now, she's fine. She sees you, and everything's wonderful. She'll play with you. She's just a wonderful little girl, little Korean girl. God had just made such a connection. We love you guys. We know you got to go. God's made such a connection with my heart and the Korean people. This mother brings me her little 7. Now, I want you to put yourself in my shoes, because this is the land we're going to now. She brings this beautiful little 7-year-old Korean girl to me. Just cute as a button. It says the doctors have diagnosed her with a disease of the optic nerve. Within 3 years, they say, she'll be blind. And they have no hope. There's nothing medically that can be done. It's genetic, born with it. If you're born with this, you go blind, period. That little girl never said anything to me. But she can hear, she understands everything that they said. And she's looking at me. This happened to me once before in my life. I'm telling you, she didn't say anything with her words. But her eyes were looking at me going, are you the one? Do I have to go blind? Are you the one Jesus sent? Can you fix my eyes so I don't have to go? She wasn't saying this with her mouth, but her little eyes, as I'm looking into those eyes, they're questioning. Are you the one? I remember the time that Jesus asked me this question. He says, most of my ministers, they go in my name telling about the works of God. He says, but what I'm looking for are ministers who go in my name and let me demonstrate the works of God. And the Lord asked it to me. It's why it always gets me when He says, are you the one? Gary, are you the one through whom I'll get to work? Or do I look for another? Now, to my shame, I have to say, from that trip, I wasn't the one. But it's not over yet. It is not over. When that kind of thing happens to me, all that does is run me back into the prayer closet. Because I know that I know that I know that Jesus would not leave that little girl in that condition. Neither would he leave David in that wheelchair. Neither would he leave the giant man not in his right mind. Jesus had been there, every single one of them would walk away healed. And that it would be a revival. They'd all be going telling what great things the Lord has done for them. Now people, that's why we teach here the way we do. None of us are claiming to be walking in the fullness of this inheritance. But somebody has got to spy out the land. Somebody has got to preach that it's there. And somebody has to go possess it. Let that be us. Let that be us. Let it drive you back. I wish you could hold that little 7-year-old girl in your arms and have her look into your eyes the way she looked into mine. It'll drive you back into the prayer closet. It'll push you away from the dinner table. It'll make you seek for a land that is ours by inheritance. But it's a land that has to be possessed by war. Let me tell you straight, the best is yet to come. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't become weary in well-doing. Come back down on Friday nights for prayer. Come on Monday nights for prayer. The church is open from 7 to 11. Monday night, Thursday night, Friday night for prayer. Monday night you can share with the practice for the choir. Your only problem will be enter in and out of prayer and worship. Prayer and worship, you know. Hallelujah. The church is open every day for you that don't work from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. There's an atmosphere that's easy to pray. These walls are soaked in prayer. Just easy to pray here. Hallelujah. So I'm real grateful for the 12 that got born again. And even if there was a couple of rededications in there, that's okay. I'm real thankful for that fruit, aren't you? I'm real thankful for the somewhere between 50 and 100 that got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm not even going to mention the service I'm not going to mention it, I guess, but just barely. I mean, we had a service for those who just wanted to like stir up the gift that's in them, like a rededication type thing. But we finally had this. I mean, we're afraid they're going to trample each other, you know. For hours and hours, you just pray and minister. I'm real thankful for all of the fruit. And I see the wisdom that the Lord had to keep the doors open, the fellowship open. Oh, did I mention to you that this church sewed 50 of Dave's books in the Korean language? 50 of them for their elders. Most of them had already read it. I sent them ahead of time before I got there. Most of them had already read it before I got there. I heard not one negative thing. They all loved the book. So God's doing a continue. I'm real thankful for all that fruit. I'm thankful for all that. But I'm just being as honest with you as I know how. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the rest of those. I've asked Andrew to send a picture of his son so we can put him on this box of our most wanted. So we can make intercession. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to pray a little bit more? Always. Pray a little more. Fast a little more. Man, we've still got a land. We've got a land to possess. I'm so glad I go to this church. Was it Joan? Was it you that shouted out the other night? I'm so glad I go to this church. Others have said if she hadn't shouted, I was about to. Amen. I am too. I'm glad to be at a place where at least we know we're contending for something and not saying it all passed away. Now you talk about fun. Wait till the day comes when you're the one there and you are the one through whom the Lord gets to work. Glory to God. That little girl does not have to lose her sight. And I don't believe she will in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.